So first of all, the mudworm minnow.
Yeah.
Funny name. Many people have probably never seen one, myself included. So what do they look like?
Okay, well, as I'm describing it, I'm going to just pass you this package, okay, which has a couple of mudworm minnows in it. It's a buggy looking thing, as you can see. Relatively nondescript when you get right down to it. And the plainness of it is a large part of its attractiveness, oddly enough. It's a very basic tie. It's one of the very first flies that many new fly tires spin up. You don't need a lot of materials to make a mudworm minnow, but it works extremely well.
And I guess it's supposed to kind of replicate a bug or something like that, eh?
It's actually supposed to replicate what's called a sculpin. And a sculpin's a kind of minnow that lives on the bottom. But the thing about the muddler is it can look like anything, and that's the cool thing about it.
Okay, and I'd say it actually looks kind of scary. If this was
it's kind of heavy.
Yeah, you got a chance, though, to speak with Dan Gapin. He what's his connection to it?
Well, as you mentioned in the intro, Dan Gapin is the son of Don Gapin. Don Gapin invented the muddler minnow on the banks of the Nipigon River many, many years ago. And it was just just a neat coincidence and a cool one for me that Dan was at the Nipigon River Brook Trout Festival last week, and I got to talk to him.
So he's carried on the mudworm minnow tradition?
He absolutely has. Now, Dan is 83 years old, but he still runs Gapin's Tackle, and he still sells not only mudworm minnows, but a wide variety of other flies and lures. He's also a very prolific writer, and he was one of the first outdoor writers I ever read back in the 60s and 70s. Interesting guy, and has a lot of stories. But his father, Don, who I've already mentioned, not only created the mudworm minnow, but owned what's called the Chalet Lodge, which was a very popular destination for fishermen on the Nipigon River in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. So anyway, last Saturday, during a break in the action at the Brook Trout Festival, I sat down with Dan Gapin. I talked to him about a lot of things, but I started by asking him how the mudworm minnow came to be.
Our family is fly fishermen all the way back to Scotland and England, and my dad grew up in a place called Monroe, Wisconsin, and at that time they didn't have the muddlers as we know them here, but they had a sculpin minnow there that they called muddler, and the name of the muddler came from that area. When he created the fly in 1936 at Virgin Falls, he did so on the thwart of, he had a fly vise on the thwart of the canoe, and old Ambrose Martin and one other native was with him. And they insisted Dad wouldn't use anything but artificials, but he wasn't getting big trout. The biggest trout he'd caught up till then was about 6 pounds. Native said, you got to use a cockatoosh, which is a sculpin. And so they finally convinced him. They hand caught about 4 or 5 sculpin. And hooked him by the tail, put him on his fly leader, and the first time he used one in the pool below Virgin, he caught a 3.5 pound brook trout. Second time it was a 5 pounder. The third fish he caught on the third minnow was 8.5 pounds.
Wow.
He kept it and brought it home and mounted it, of course. But the fly was created in 1936 in early August on Nipigon River. And the name comes from his old hometown. A fellow by the name of Charlie Staff, Prescott Spinner's Company, had the year before had named his Palmer Wand fly a cockatoo, so Dad wouldn't, in those days, nobody was copying anybody else. There was a lot of class to it, you know. So Dad went back to his old roots and dug out that mudder minnow, which he used to use for catch brown trout down in Wisconsin. So that's where the name came from.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's the largest selling trout fly in the world. It's caught more world record than any other trout fly ever created.
It is incredible to see. I mean, there's the original muddler, but all the sort of takeoffs of it, right? All the different...
Yeah. All the fly companies, they've changed it and everything. We never trademarked it. I trademarked the original muddler, so nobody can use that. We make it in white, we make it in black, we make it, but only the original pattern. As we still tie it here in the States, in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I own a plant in Kenya, the old Hardy plant, and that's where we make 1 million flies a year, the Gapin Company does, and most of it's done over there, but the dry flies and the muddlers are all made here.
We're back in Nipigon. We're here for the Brook Trout Festival. What are some of the feelings you have, you know, being back here, being in your old home?
You can't believe I've choked up so many times coming back here. It's incredible.
Yeah,
And you have good friends here, like Ray Dupuis Sr., right? Yeah. You got, and you were childhood friends, right?
Oh, we fished all of the creeks around here. Ray and I used to catch those 6-inch brook trout and with old bamboo fly rods, mm-hmm. you know. And there's one story that you might be interested in. I fish Mission Creek here. There's an old, the Ojibwe church out here in Lake Helen where we had our resort.
Yep.
A fellow by the name of George Sheboyer. George said to me, "You want to catch a trout without a hook?" And I said, "How are you going to do that?" And he took a piece of willow, cut it, and then tied a string to the middle, run it in the mouth of a cockatoo, out the gill on either side. There was about a quarter of an inch in, the wood stick sticking there, mm-hmm. fed it to the trout. And once they swallowed it, it would hook up in their gills, and you'd land the fish. You didn't. So he said, "That's the native way."
Never had to use a hook.
No hook. No hook was used. Yeah.
You know, obviously, this is all about the world record brook trout. You think that will ever be broken, that record?
You know what? I doubt it. My dad tried for 40 years to break the record. He had three trout over 10 pounds, the biggest one about 10.8, and that was his biggest fish he's caught. My biggest is only 9.5 pounds, mm-hmm. and I've fished trout all over, right. From Labrador to out west and so on, but I've never been able to break more than 9 pounds.
Okay, and you have to tell me about Gapin's Pool and the history of that.
Gapin's Pool, there's a lot of history there, but Gapin's Pool was butted up against our land. It was a major spawning area for brook trout, mm-hmm. too, and at that time I didn't know it.
Right.
But it was also the staging area for huge whitefish and rainbow trout. And the first steelhead I ever caught over 10 pounds was caught in Gapin's Pool.
Wow. All right, awesome to talk to you.
Thank you very much, Gord.
That was Dan Gapin, who's a writer, a businessman, son of Don Gapin, the man credited with creating the most popular fly in the world, the muddler minnow.
So I think I heard him say there they tie 1 million muddlers a year.
Well, they tie in the excess of 1 million flies. Most of them would be muddlers because the muddler minnow is what they're known for. It's a mind-boggling number. I can't even...
No.
It's kind of hard to wrap your head around just that many flies. And extremely popular still.
No, you like to fly fish, Stuart.
I do.
I know virtually nothing about it. What makes the muddler so popular?
Well, okay, so your standard muddler, is very plain. Just works extremely well for all sorts of different things. But, I told you earlier today that they kind of, the muddler's been hot rotted to look different, right? So there's all sorts of flies that are based on that basic pattern. This one's orange, for instance.
Yeah.
So it's not a true muddler. But everything else about it's exactly the same. This one has a little bit of a metal cone at the front, so it's weighted. Again, same basic pattern, muddler pattern that looks like a minnow, can look like a grasshopper, can look like nothing and everything at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just one of those patterns that it's hard to imagine fly fishing without a muddler minnow. And yet, it was fairly recently invented.
And I guess that's the joy of it, is that it looks like nothing, but it always looks like something.
And somebody posted on my Facebook wall, muddler minnow equals trout candy. And that's pretty much true.
Trout candy. Okay. The dad of that university, Dan Gapin, mm-hmm. 83 years old. Sounds like he's doing pretty strong.
He really is. And it was amazing to meet him because he truly was one of these people who I looked up to early on when I was just starting. Well, even before I became a writer, he was in Outdoor Life, which was one of the big three outdoor magazines back then. And he went to all the places I dreamt of, the Albany River, the Ogoki River, the Nipigon, and Northwest Territories, which I ended up going to, later in my life. But he was there, 50 years ago, writing about it, doing adventures, and it was really, really neat to meet him.
Gord, thanks for all this morning.
You're welcome.
That's Gord Ellis, our outdoor columnist. He's here with us every Thursday at this time. You can find him on Facebook, Twitter, @GordEllis, or through his website, GordEllis.com.